everybody? Still awake? All right, good. I am here to introduce Sucre. She's going to be speaking to you about making a difference in the community, which I think she's a perfect person to do. I really admire Sue and her impact and her influence on a lot of people and a lot of ladies in the church. She's very, very warm and caring person, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. So if you will bow with me, I'm going to pray for her. Okay. Dear God, we just really appreciate, God, how much you love us and care for us, God, and bringing us all here together at the Ladies Retreat. It's been a wonderful experience, and I'm just grateful for that. And I just ask that you please bless Sue now as she speaks to the ladies here, as she conveys, you know, the words that you want her to tell us, and help us absorb what you want us to hear from her lesson, God. And be able to make a difference and be able to carry on with the mission that you want all of us to have, that you've given us for our lives. And please just help her be calm and, you know, collected about this, and know that we love her, and that she can speak from her heart and we'll be fine. So thank you, God, again for all your blessings, and it's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Okay, just make sure you're in the right place. This talk is going to be about our impact on the community. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah? Good, good. All right, well, my first thought when Denise approached me and asked me to talk about the community, I thought, oh my gosh, if you're going to have me talk about something, why not talk about the workplace? But then I guess she'd heard all my stories about my failures in the workplace, so we went a different direction. So, but that's okay. I'm still working on that part of it. And then my second thought was the community. I'm not really in the community. I know a lot of people think because of my job, I'm in the community. I'm doing different business functions or different activities or whatever. And whenever I think about that, my second thought was, I'm really not the right person for this talk either. But Denise challenged me to look a little bit deeper, so I did, and I've taken that challenge, and let's just kind of unveil what we've come up with here, okay? First of all, using Wonder Woman as a basis for our theme. If anybody knows me, you guys know I don't watch TV. So when we started talking about Wonder Woman, I'm like, oh great, okay, here's another challenge on top of it. That's good. So I, like a lot of the other ladies, had to do some research and kind of look at Wonder Woman and figure out what was going on with her. You know automatically she's a superwoman, but that was the extent of what I knew about her. So I did do a lot of research there, and you know, it is very clear she is a superwoman. She had a lot of superpowers. She was very beautiful. She had a huge desire to make the world a better place to live. So using that as my basis, that's where, you know, we're going to start, to make the world a better place to live. When we look at Wonder Woman and her desire to improve the world, we can really compare her to a Christian woman. What's our desire as Christian women? To make the world a better place to live. We actually can use her example on how she impacted the community that she was in and bring that to our communities. When we look at Wonder Woman's community, and I think I'm probably getting ahead of myself here, but when we look at Wonder Woman's community, where did she serve? She served the world, didn't she? Is the world really a community? Can we use that as comparison to us? Well, when we look at Webster's Dictionary, one of Webster's definitions is a society at large. So if she had a need and she served that need, that was her community, right? Well, we're going to bring ours down just a little bit further here in just a minute and look at what a community to us looks like. Whenever I was researching her, though, I did come up with a couple of things about her. And like Denise said earlier, she was originated in 1941, but she was originated by William Moulton Marston. He was the guy that actually wrote about her, created her. But just as in every other good man, there was a woman behind the scene. His His wife, Elizabeth, was actually the one that motivated him to take this challenge and write about this woman. And throughout all of this, Elizabeth kept encouraging him, instead of making it a superman, make it a woman. Make it, let's step it up a little bit. Let's make it different. We have women that have impacts, and Elizabeth herself was a huge impact on their community in their time. So through her encouragement, he created Superwoman. Wonder Woman. When Elizabeth was encouraging him to make these choices, her words were, make it a female who would triumph not with fists or firepower, but with love. As they went through their process of creating Superwoman, I can't help but feel that there was a biblical concept behind the creation of this woman. A biblical concept of somebody that we wanted to bring to life in our world as a source of encouragement and direction to us. Wonder Woman was known for, you know, we Googled, I had gotten together with some of the ladies and we Googled a couple of things, and she had a lot of famous sayings throughout her process, throughout her career, cartoon career. And one of the sayings I thought was really nice was, please take my hand, I give it to you as a gesture of friendship and love and faith freely given. I give you my hand and welcome you into my dream. You know, there's a lot of powerful, inspirational things that she said. Another one, spoken by Queen Hippolyte. I'm assuming that's probably her mother or some kind of encouragement to her. Go in peace, my daughter, and remember that in a world of ordinary mortals, you are Wonder Woman. You know, so those sources of encouragement come through all every direction that you can think of. When we look at Wonder Woman as being a wonderful woman, you know, you guys are Wonder Women also. If you are a Christian, your life is based on what God's direction is giving you, you're actually, in my opinion, a step above Wonder Woman. You are an amazing creation by God. It tells us in Matthew 5:13-16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay, did you catch that? You are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. We have a direct command from God to let our light shine before men in such a way that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. God has already defined who you are and has lifted you up for His glory. And that, ladies, is a privilege. Hopefully you're accepting that privilege. In my observation about Wonder Woman, I think that there are several things that we can take from her to make our communities better. First of all, Wonder Woman had a goal. That goal was defined by her community. And her community, we've already established, was the world. Now, you may think, okay, Wonder Woman had a goal. She was blessed with all these talents and she just, you know, it just came natural. She just got out there and did this. But if you go back and you look at the basis, the concept of Wonder Woman, her goal was to rid the world of evil. And later on, I discovered that these magical powers that she had, she left behind. And I'm thinking that was in the 60s when they rewrote her character. She left those magical powers behind. They were taken away because she didn't go with the rest of the group. She chose to stay on this earth. But even though she lost those magical powers, she sought wisdom and counsel through other people to gain other sources of strength that still let her combat evil. We have that power through the Word of God and through the people that we are associated with. We may not have magical powers, but we have resources to still tackle what has been put in front of us. Another quote from Wonder Woman. Of all people, you know who I am, who the world needs me to be. I am Wonder Woman. She recognized a need that she could not just set aside. She took action, and you have that same power as well. If you recognize that need and you have that desire, you have the power. Now, there was a battleground for her, and her battle was a more physical battle, but she did not have any boundaries to what her choices were. She took the challenges that came in front of her. Her community was defined by where she was needed. Her community encompassed the world. And that sounds odd, but again, Webster's Dictionary says the world is the community is defined by society at large. So, with that, what direction are we going to go as Christians in serving our community and trying to make a difference in the world? We don't have that physical battleground, but we have a spiritual battleground that goes on every day in our lives. When you're looking at the spiritual battleground, do you give any serious thought to encouraging the hopeless, to feed the hungry, to share good news of Jesus Christ? In Acts 9, we have a wonderful story about Dorcas. As we look at the story, we learn that she was a leader in the Christian community. If you go back and you study the story of Dorcas, it gives you some more insight as to who this woman was and what kind of commitment and faith that she has. She was beloved for the manner in which she used her position and means for she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Among her charities was the clothing of the poor with garments she herself made in Acts 9:39. She was so well loved and respected that they sent for Peter to help her as she had died. In Acts 39, it tells us, when he arrived, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used or had made while she was still with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body, and he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Okay, there was a miracle there. She was brought back to life. Where did that miracle start? Was it because Peter took her hand and said, "Arise"? Or did that miracle start because of her faith? Her recognition in the community because of her commitment to Christ and serving others. Now, she didn't raise herself from the dead. We know that. So she didn't have that kind of power to do that. But we do recognize that faith, that miracle, didn't just start with Peter. There was a foundation for that. It was her good works. Do your good works shine in the community? Can somebody lift you up in honor and respect for what you have done to help other people? Just a thought. Dorcas had a goal in her community, and she had a lasting impression because of that goal. She committed herself daily, and you know, sewing back then is not like sewing now, all the sewing machines, you can't just whip out a project here and there and here you go. She committed herself daily to the service of other people. And because of her faith, compiled with Peter's miracle, it says, many believed in the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage the war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." I have compared us to Wonder Woman in respect of the power and the desire to serve. But when you look at Wonder Woman, there's one fault that I see. She was a good person. She did a lot of good works. But at the end of the day, who got the glory for that? When we have the opportunity to serve God, we have the opportunity to let it be known so that God can be lifted up and God receives the glory. He is the source of our power. Without Him, we can't serve the community. We can't serve the family. We can't even help ourselves. So unless we are giving that full circle back to God in recognition and in gratitude, we're lacking. Ephesians 1:19, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that serves us. We are only limited by the desire that's in our heart. And if we don't have a desire, we're not going to be fulfilling the needs that are in front of us. Another observation about Wonder Woman was she was intentional. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. John 17:18. Those opportunities are around us. Are our eyes open? Are you looking for them? And if you see them, are you running the other direction? Or are you responding to it? You know, we had been making several trips back and forth to Paducah with my father's health. And we had left the hospital to give him a nap and went over to Burger King across the street. And we were standing there waiting to order. And there was a small group of us. And there was a gentleman, only person there. There were some kids in the back playing. But the only person at the counter was this one gentleman. And he's leaning over and he's talking to this lady and he's talking low. And he's looking and he's thinking and he's talking. And it's like, one guy, what is taking so long? And finally, one of the people in our group said, what the heck is taking so long? And I happened to step up just a little bit closer, and I could hear that he was calculating and did not have enough money. And so I said, you know, here, let me go ahead and just, you know, because one thing, these people were like, can we get waited on? Hello? You know? And then secondly, the embarrassment of standing there with this crowd behind you, you know? So I said, here, let me just, you know. And about that time, he pulled out just enough change to finish paying the bill. And he said, while he was waiting on his stuff, he said, you know, I thank you for offering, but, you know, it's been a little difficult. I lost my job, and it's my daughter's birthday, and I brought her and a couple friends, and I thought I'd have at least enough to just buy him some small ice creams, you know. And my heart was breaking for this guy, you know. He'd lost his job, and he's still wanting to make his daughter's birthday special and let her spend some time with friends. When you serve the Lord, he wouldn't take my money at that point. He went ahead and paid. But when you serve the Lord, do you know how wonderful that makes you feel inside? The reward that you get from just knowing that even the gesture to make yourself available to them, that God blesses you so dearly whenever you have that opportunity. So anyway, being intentional, do you think Wonder Woman got up each morning and just kind of, you know, got dressed, went about her day, lazing around in her bathrobe, waiting for some action to happen? Or do you think she was looking for opportunities? Personally, I think she was looking for those opportunities. We can live life just moment by moment, but I don't think that's what God calls us to do. Another quote from Wonder Woman. This is the golden lasso. Besides being made from an indestructible material, it also carries with it the power to compel people to tell the truth. Use it well with compassion. Compassion, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, can really be a motivating force in how we react, respond to people. Hopefully it's responding, not reacting. How do we define who are we are supposed to serve? How do we define what our community is? And furthermore, why do we have to define who we're going to serve? When we look at the scriptures, Galatians 6:10, So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the house of faith. You know, we've heard this scripture numerous times, but we like to kind of turn it and go towards those in the house of faith. We need to take care of our brothers and sisters first. But this says, do good to all people. Let's look again at Webster's dictionaries. When we look at community, it says, having a commonness. A body of people having common rights, privileges, or interests, or living in the same place under the same laws. Common characteristics. Likeness. Okay, so if I'm in Burger King, and there's other people in Burger King, is there a commonality there? If I'm at the theater watching Wonder Woman, and there's other people at the theater watching Wonder Woman, is there a commonality there? So would it be fair to say that if you're someplace, regardless of where, and there's other people, you've defined your community? There are no barriers there. So how do you break down and apply God's principles when you're there? Remember, God defined you as the light of the world. If you're not sure what direction to go with that, pull out your Bible, read some scriptures, and remember, you were made for a purpose, and that's to share His light with other people. Acts 20:24 tells us, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Telling good news is more than just sharing a scripture with a person. It is living it through your actions, your behaviors, and your responses to what is going on around you. The Bible says, those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony of God in them. 1 John 5:10. Is your life a living testimony? When you became a believer, you also became God's messenger. God wants to speak to the world through you. Right now, we're going to let Him speak to us through Susie. In case you don't know Susie, Susie is a very motivated Christian, and she may be retired, but she does not let the dust settle. When we look at having an impact on our community, Susie has got some great hands-on examples of exactly what that looks like. Would you welcome Susie up here, please?
She knows how nervous I am.
Yes.
Christ can do all things through me. Some of you know here that I've been in a little bit of pain the last few weeks, and so if my presentation is less than stellar, you can blame it on the pain pills. No, wait, I didn't take any pain pills, so don't do that. Don't count on that. It's all on me. I was looking, I didn't even know where to start with this. I don't especially consider myself to be the person that you so graciously said that I was, but I was looking for examples of service and the way that people live their lives, and I found this one. I thought, well, I'll just start with this. A man died and appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, what have you done of merit while you were on the earth? And he thought, he said, well, I saw this group of burly bikers, and they were threatening this young lady. And I just walked right up to the biggest, the most tattooed guy that was there, and I slapped him on the head, and I tore his piercing out of his nose, and I kicked over his bike, and I said, now you leave her alone. And St. Peter was pretty impressed with this, and he said, well, when did you do this? What time period was this? And he said, about 2 minutes ago. So, hopefully our stories are not going to end this way, but I think we better live our lives as if it will end that way. We're all going to be accountable for how we spend our time on earth. My story about how I serve God in the community is probably like many of your own. It doesn't come easily for me, and I'm still learning my way, to say the least. I became a Christian in 2010, and prior to that, I always thought I was a good person. I thought I was a believer, but honestly, I didn't have a clue. I think I mistook sympathy for service at that time. Floyd brought me to Greater Alton from another church that I was attending, and relatively soon after I got there, I started studying with Kathy Chestnut and Chris Hamlin, and attended lots and lots of classes by Bob Hawkins, and was just so excited and trying to learn everything that I could learn. I truly came to know Christ here in this church and was baptized. I'm sure you all remember how eager you were when you were going through that period of time. I wanted to learn. I wanted to obey God. I wanted to do everything that He was asking me to do. I was really enthusiastic, and I was trying to find my gifts and use them to their fullest. People kept suggesting ways that I might serve God, and I was trying to do any and all things that I was asked to do. I had read in Ephesians 4:12 that God chose people to prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. I believed that. I knew that this is what I was asked to do, but as time went on, somehow I knew that I was falling short in that area, and I didn't know what was wrong. I was frantically running around looking for ways to help. This is the point that you made about intentionally looking for things. I have a little different take on that, because that's what I was doing. I was, where can I go next and help, and who needs me now? And I was just running all over the place in a haphazard manner, trying to find ways to serve. Somehow I knew I was going in the wrong direction, and over time I lost my enthusiasm. I became disillusioned, and I felt like I was on the verge of burning out. I thought, what is wrong? What is wrong? I know what God is calling me to do. I was serving, but it was not with a joyful heart at times. I can truthfully say that. I was trying to rely on other people to find my way. I confided in one of my spiritual mentors. I have several. This happened to be my 90-year-old Aunt Rika, and she's the most faithful servant that I know. And we began to study the Bible to solve this problem for me. And I'd like to share it with you, a few of the scriptures that helped me. In Matthew 24, 45 to 47, Jesus asks us to spend our time taking care of His people and doing His work. We all know that. This was not a revelation to me, but it helped to hear, and I did. I heard it. I heard the command in His own words when I read that with my aunt. And remember the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10, 30 through 42? Martha opened her home to Jesus, and she was frantically running around, making preparations for her guests, while her sister Mary, remember, she just sat at Jesus' feet and just took in everything that He said. When Martha complained about Mary's idleness, what did Jesus do? He gently chastised her for being upset and worrying about this. And He told her that Mary had made the wisest choice. Like Martha, I learned that I had to be careful not to think one way of serving was better than another way. I also discovered that in serving, I have to spend time with Jesus, because that's the mistake that Martha was making. She was actually neglecting her guest, Jesus, by all the preparation that she was doing. And I thought, you know, I'm doing that too. I can't forget to talk to him when I'm trying to serve, and I can't forget to talk about him. Otherwise, just like Martha, service becomes tedious and less than desirable. It's just busy work. And I think I had been missing that aspect. In John 21, 15 through 17, Jesus asked Peter three times in three different ways if Peter loved him. Do you remember what Jesus said each time? After Peter had responded positively each time, he said, "Feed and take care of my sheep." Now, this was a revelation to me. I had read that before, but I guess it didn't soak in. I had to check my motives. I was reminded that service was not about me. It was a way to show Christ that I truly loved him. Loving God means to obey and to care for others, regardless of our talents or even our circumstances. I've heard so many people say, you know, they're just so absorbed, and rightly so, in some of the problems that they have, that they don't feel like there's anything that they can give and they can offer. And it's just not true. You just have to find the way. In Matthew 6, 25 to 34, you remember the words, "Ye of little faith"? Jesus teaches about worrying. And I won't read it all, but he basically says, don't worry about anything. First, seek his kingdom and righteousness, and all will be given to you. I realized that I'd been doing just the exact opposite of that. I wasn't turning to God first for help in serving him. I wasn't obeying him in everything. I was out running around trying to do it on my own. I was worrying about how to serve him. I was worrying about how to serve him. And I wasn't doing a very good job. I learned that serving God is time well spent. And it's a waste of God's talent to worry so much if you're doing it right. About whether you're doing it right, excuse me. These are just a few of the scriptures that my aunt and I discussed. And my whole attitude over time changed towards service. I stopped running around looking for things to do and worrying about giving service to God. Instead, I think I just stepped back, and the best way that I can describe it, I started seeing and listening with my heart. I don't think I'd done that before. I would see something and try to fix it, or I would hear something and try to go, you know, help with that. But I started internalizing this in my heart. And I found out that I didn't have to go around running looking for anything. God had always put opportunities in front of me, and I just didn't see them. I was too busy trying to create something that I could fix and ways to serve to see what God had given me. Now I see those opportunities everywhere. One day I was in line at Olga's, and I noticed a lady behind me. She was also alone. And when they came up and asked, you know, if I had a table and was it for one, I just never did it before. I just turned around and I said, "Would you like to join me?" And she said, "Well, sure." So I've never done that before. I don't know why I did. We did some initial chatting, and when our food came and it came time to eat, I said, "Would you mind if I prayed?" And she says, "No, I'm a Christian. I'll be happy to pray with you." So that's what we did, and of course that led into a great conversation. And she was thrilled. She was a new Christian. Her family was not supportive in any way. She was out on her own, going from church to church to church, trying to find a church. She said, I found this one that I really liked. She's from Highland. And she said, but I don't believe what they say about baptism. And she said, they think everybody has to be baptized to be saved. And so in our conversation, I said, you know, I really struggled with that myself. It was a year after, at least a year after I went through the Bible studies that I decided to do that. And I shared with her what Alan had told me at one time. I said, Alan, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. And he said, you know, I don't profess to know everything. But he said, I know one thing. It says over and over in the Bible that baptism pleases the Lord. And why wouldn't you want to please the Lord? And I shared that with her. And by the end of the conversation, I get a little emotional. But she looked at me and she had the biggest grin on her face. And she said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to be baptized. And I thought, you know, this is God. That was the first time that I really felt that God was using me. And it felt so good. It really did. So I was listening to him for the first time, and it was working. So what kinds of things do I do to serve? They're not any different than things that you guys do. They're not earth-shattering by a long shot. I have a colonoscopy ministry. So if any of you feel the need, just call me. In one 8-day period, I took 4 women for their colonoscopies. So now I'm kind of known for that, I think. I also have an airport ministry. I just find things that I like to do and that are comfortable to me. Yeah. If I'm free, I'm happy to take or pick people up at the airport. I'm pretty familiar with St. Louis. My husband, spent a lot of time in the hospitals there. So I feel very comfortable seeing people for tests or appointments or something like that. And I love to do that. I've had a few very seriously ill friends in the last few years, and one had an inoperable brain tumor, and he was just going downhill so fast, and there's no way that he could maneuver through the bureaucracy of trying to get disability and insurance and all that. So I got pretty good at that. I didn't have a clue, but he and I worked through it. I collect Christian materials for the organization called Love Packages. It's a wonderful opportunity to volunteer. They have all kinds of ways that you can volunteer. And that's a group of Christians that collect all of these materials, and they send them now all over the world. It started out as a very small little company. They send them all over the world to help people in remote areas that are lost. So I love that. They're trying to spread the good news, and I feel like I'm helping in some way. I recently volunteered for a fantastic group, and it's called Friends of Wings. Has anyone ever heard of that? Wings is part of the BJC hospital complex. They provide supportive pediatric care for life-threatening illnesses by children. And they support the children, and they support the families in many different ways. Even after, heaven forbid, the children lose their struggle, they're still there to help the siblings and the parents with that. So there are lots of ways that we can volunteer for that also. And the blankets that we made a few months ago, all of those blankets went to that Friends of Wings. And those blankets stayed actually on our side of the river, so I was happy about that. I'm really excited about another organization that I'm just learning about, and it's called the Stephen Ministries. I don't know if anyone's heard of that, but it's been around a long time, and there are thousands of congregations that are involved in this. And what they do is provide training. I mean, we're all every day helping friends, helping family, helping strangers, people that we work with through life's crises. This organization actually provides some training and I'm anxious to see what new tools that I'm going to get that I could use when I'm trying to do that. My story is not different from most of yours. We all should be using our gifts and resources to do God's work, and everyone in this room does to varying degrees. Could we do even more? Yes. We all find excuses to disobey, don't we? We don't have anything to offer, or we don't have the time, or we don't have the resources, or we don't have the knowledge to help someone. We let a million things get in the way of our service, and shame on us for doing that. I'd like to leave you with one last thought. My Aunt Rika, who did not know I was doing this today, she didn't know I was doing this today, but a few days ago she posted on Facebook a quote by Bill Crowder, and he was a minister associated with Our Daily Bread publication, if you've seen that. He said, "God has different plans for each one of us. We might feel that others have an easier assignment or a more glamorous role to play. But if God has handpicked us for our task, who are we to even think, 'I can't do this'? And what greater task does he give us than caring for each other?" That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Thank you, Susie. That was awesome. You know, sometimes people are afraid to talk about what they're doing in the community. They're afraid it's going to be misconstrued as bragging or, you know, feeling like they're better than you because maybe they're doing something different than you. But, you know, I think we need to talk about what is going on in the community. I think we need, the more we talk about it, the more you're going to be aware of what needs are out there so that you can potentially take action. It's not a matter of bragging. It's a matter of passing information, okay? Because remember, we have humble hearts. We are Christians doing the work of the Lord, giving glory to the Lord. But if people aren't aware of the needs, nothing's going to happen. So we need to make sure that that information is shared. Not only that, but I think it gets people excited about the service of God, excited to be able to help these children in these hospitals or to help somebody that doesn't have enough money to make a birthday special for their daughter. You know, I mean, it just, to know that you have touched a life and that God's gotten that glory, I don't know about you guys, but it just sometimes gets me all tongue-tied. I just love the opportunities. And again, if you, just like Susie said, if you don't think you have nothing to share, if you think you've not been blessed, don't be fooled. That's the devil trying to keep you silent. I'm sure every one of us has a storehouse of experience that God wants us to use to bring others into his family. Okay, another thought about Wonder Woman. She was consistent. We all know the real woman behind the work was a mystery. But it's pretty obvious that there was two women in this story. The superpower hero and the common person. What do you think her life was like on both sides? Do you think her life paralleled, or do you think she was two completely different people? Do you think she had the same humble heart and humble attitude on both sides of that coin? Absolutely. Her goals and her missions were to serve and do good for other people. Do your lives parallel? When you're in church, doing your service there, doing all the things God's called you to do, do you take that with you when you walk out the door on Sunday morning? We have a mission too. As Christians, that mission should be the same regardless of what side of the road that we're on, what time of the day, what day of the week it is. And that mission should reflect our passion for Christ. In Romans 12:11-12, it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing great is ever accomplished without enthusiasm." If you're not successful in your mission, maybe you're lacking enthusiasm. Did you know that the way you stay enthusiastic is found in the word enthusiasm? The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos. En is the Greek word for English, in. Theos is the Greek word for God. So entheos means to be in God. When you get in God, you will be enthusiastic. It's the kind of enthusiasm that isn't affected by economy or the weather or your circumstances. It's eternal because you are tied to the eternal God. You are in Christ. Once you're in the family of God, your life changes. You have a new reason for living. Your life isn't about you anymore. It's about God's mission. Open your eyes to the opportunities around you to be a Wonder Woman in your community, because you do make a difference. Final quote from Wonder Woman: a new journey to be started, a new promise to be fulfilled, a new page to be written. Go forth into this waiting world with pen in hand, all you young scribes. The open book awaits. Be creative, be adventurous, be original, and above all else, be young. For youth is our greatest weapon. Use your greatest tool wisely. Let's say a closing prayer, if you would, please. Father God, we are so grateful for the God that you are and the opportunities that you give us. We are so grateful, Father, for your word that reminds us daily that you have made us special, that you have plans for us. And just humble us, Lord, to follow your instructions. Father, as we spend the rest of this weekend together, be with the rest of the speakers and motivate us, Father, to use this time wisely, to learn from each other, to love on each other, and to love on you. All this we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.